Hello.
All right. I don't know how many more of these I can do.
We've got two more to do. So.
Oh, you bastard.
Right, so we are back on the Heroverse, yeah. And this week we are going to explore Wesley Snipes' Blade trilogy. These for me will always be the films that made superhero films possible.
Yeah.
Because Blade is a Marvel superhero.
Yeah.
Well, anti-hero.
Yeah. I mean, these are certain... I think it was a combination of these and the Michael Keaton Batman.
Yes.
Because we not then had a superhero film since Superman 4, which was a bag of wankin' chips.
And also, not only did these show that superheroes could be viable film property, it also showed that superheroes could be adult film property.
I also think it's also responsible for that vampire, zombie, werewolf boom of the noughties we got.
Yes, absolutely.
So it did Marvel, it did superheroes, it did adult superheroes, and it did monsters. Because after this, you've got to think, we also got things like, I know it's animated, but Hotel Transylvania. We got, was it Dracula 2000?
Yeah, with Gerard Butler.
And we got all this, and we got with Hugh Jackman,
Van Helsing,
yeah. Which is a movie we're going to have to cover at some point.
Yeah.
So I think this did more for cinema, because even though you go, oh, well, none of those films say they were influenced by Blade, well, not consciously.
No, but without Blade showing that it could be viable cinema material in this more modern day of cinema, then we wouldn't have the MCU. We wouldn't have the DCEU. We wouldn't have any of that.
No, I don't think we'd have had Tobey's Spider-Man trilogy, no. To be honest.
And we've got to remember, the first film came out in 1998. Right, let that sink in. 1998. And we'd never had... I mean, Blade, for a start off, he's a black protagonist.
I mean, that was another one. We got a black protagonist in a, I would argue, a non-sport stroke comedy.
Absolutely.
Because you go, well, what about Eddie Murphy? What about Will Smith? Well, they were in comedic roles.
Yeah, this was an action...
I think before that, the only action guy you could really argue existed was Mr. T.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying from, obviously he did the A-Team, but I know Mr. T was in other stuff. He did, he was brilliant in Rocky.
Yeah.
But he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
But Blade wasn't a bad guy.
No.
But that's the only other thing. Unless the black guy's a bad guy, here he was arguably the good guy, and he was serious.
Well, because obviously the films take place from Blade's perspective, he is the good guy.
Yeah. I'm saying more. And he's more what you call an anti-hero.
Yeah, he's definitely an anti-hero. He'll do what's necessary for his cause. But at the same time, he is trying to overridingly protect humanity.
Yeah, but we got the black guy. So these films, even subconsciously, I think they did more than they'll ever get credit for in a million years. Especially the first one.
Strongest to weakest is Release Order.
Yeah,
Blade 2 and then Blade
3. But a lot of films of this era did that in the
absolutely.
Late 90s to noughties.
Yeah.
A lot of films. The first one...
The first one with Deacon Frost.
The first one...
Bringing in a blood god and all that sort of stuff was brilliant.
They did what a lot of films did then. They had to write a great script or they wouldn't get money.
I think with Blade edged more towards... horror action.
Yeah.
Blade 2 became action horror.
Yeah.
And then Blade Trinity became comedy action horror.
I'd say action comedy horror, but it was... the thing is, a lot of films did this because your first one had to have a strong script, otherwise you would not get money.
Yeah.
No one would give you money if your first film did not have a good script.
And obviously they didn't necessarily stick to comic book
stories.
They took the idea of a man that was half human, half vampire who hunted vampires.
Yeah.
Effectively.
It was more influenced by.
Yeah.
The second one, they did what a lot of second films did. They got the big money because the first one made the studio so much. So they spend more time in development. I mean, 4 years between the first two, but they had more money. But then the problem was Wesley Snipes probably said, I want more money to come back.
Yeah.
But they still had so much money, they were able to get better effects, better props, better actors, better this.
And of course, they one-upped the bad guy because it was like, well, we've done vampires, so what can we do? Oh, wait a minute, we can do super vampires.
Yeah.
So we ended up with the Reapers. But I did enjoy Blade 2. I think it was a very strong entry into the series.
And then Blade 3, they had that thing of the studio probably to sign off on the second film also demanded a third film because trilogies were the thing. XXX, Bad Boys, fucking all of them.
But Blade Trinity became
a joke,
yeah. I mean, they introduced Dracula. Now, Dracula exists in Marvel.
Yeah.
He's actually more commonly a bad guy of Captain America than he is of Blade, but neither here nor there. But the way that they introduced Dracula wasn't very good. They then introduced these other vampire hunter characters, which is fine. There's always going to be other hunters.
Oh, yeah.
Whistler was a hunter.
Before Blade was born. But I don't mind.
And as much as I love Ryan Reynolds, and I do love Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Reynolds is a comedy actor. And that's why it was like they tried to make this film much more comedy than what Blade's that we were used to. And that really let the film down.
Yeah.
And then they did this whole thing where Blade beats Dracula at the end. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, but Blade's fucking strong. Don't get me wrong, he's strong.
But without some serious help, he ain't beating Dracula.
Another thing that they did this overriding thing in every film. First film, Blade had all his blood drained out of him, do you remember?
Yeah.
Right?
In the pit, because they were sacrificing him.
Yeah, they were sacrificing to bring about the blood god. And then how did Blade get his strength back? Well, he drunk the blood of a human.
Yeah, because he always takes the serum, yeah.
And it supercharged him because his body's not used to it, and it supercharged him, and he kicked the fuck out of a literal god.
A blood god.
Right?
Blood helped him beat a blood god.
And then in the second film, well, he obviously has his blood drained again because, you know, the vampires are always going to want the Daywalker's blood because they want the ability to daywalk. That's fine, fair enough. You got to have a theme. But then he falls into a massive vat of blood. So he drinks so much blood that he would basically drown in it anyway. But still, he then comes out and is only just strong enough to kick the fuck out of another normal vampire. He drunk the blood of one woman for like a couple of seconds and kicked the fuck out of a god. But then in this film, he struggles to kick the fuck out of a vampire. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, but this vampire's been juiced up, don't forget that.
But then... Literally, so he comes out of the vat, he fights a normal vampire.
Oh, yeah. He struggles
against that. Then he goes on to the super vampire and only just wins that fight. But then, Blade Trinity, he kills Dracula with an inhaler. What? Like, no, you can't say that the only way that Blade ever gets his actual power is to drink actual blood, because that supercharges him. And then in the last film go, actually, we've decided that we're going to give him an inhaler of his normal serum, and that is going to make him powerful enough to defeat Dracula. No. Just no. And this is why they should never have made Blade Trinity. Blade should have been Blade and Blade 2. And then it could have ended there. Because realistically, Blade 2 ended at a point where it was like, well, he's worked for the vampires. He fell in love with a vampire in Blade 2, effectively. He then defeated the super vampires, which now we know. And then, obviously, the super vampire killed the head of the vampire. Blade's job's effectively done other than mopping up the...
Now, is it just me or... In Blade Trinity, did they have the worst fucking teeth of all three films as well?
Yes, they did, yeah.
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 They look like they'd gotten craft paper and folded it and cut it into... And then... Worst bit about the third one. Fucking Triple H. as a vampire.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Like, and that, but like, I get it. That was in that era of.
So the first Blade, $45 million budget, made $131.2 million. That's respectable. No wonder that they chucked money into the second.
Yeah.
Second film, $54 million. So they only gave him an extra $9 million.
But still more money.
But made over $100 million in profit.
Yeah.
In just in profit, because they made 155. And then Blade Trinity, that's even more money, but only made 132. Because they spent $65 million on this. I guarantee you now, most of that money went on Wesley Snipes and Ryan Reynolds.
No, see, I don't think it went on Ryan back then. I reckon it went on Triple H back then.
No, well, very possible. But even then, Ryan was actually still popular around the early noughties.
No, this was his start, though. I don't think he'd have been paid that much. Certainly not as much as Wesley Snipes.
No, no,
back
no,
then,
no.
Wesley was the man. But yeah, they're all good films.
Well, here's where I think that it all fucks up. Because the first film, we both agree, is the best out of the bunch.
Yeah.
Now, David Goyer screenwrote that film.
Now, see, I will say that for all three, generally the writing is fine.
Right. And David S. Goyer wrote all three.
Yeah.
Screenwrote all three. But look at the directors. Stephen Norrington, great fucking English director.
I can't say I know anything else he's done, but we move on.
But did Blade, really good. The second film, Guillermo del Toro, the legend.
I think he's slightly overrated. I think people rate him far too highly. But before you get your pitchforks and torches out, I will agree he's very good.
Yes.
So again, I will accept that that is why. And I can
say Guillermo del Toro does better at horror than most things.
Now I know why. Now I know Guillermo wrote it, I completely understand the falling in the big vat of blood at the end.
No, he wrote it, he directed it.
Oh, yeah.
David S. Goyer wrote all three.
But I can see why. Because although it doesn't say he wrote it, Guillermo does.
Yeah, of course.
So that big vat of blood would not surprise me if that was a Guillermo thing.
No, but my point is that David S. Goyer is a screenwriter. He wrote all three.
But he directed.
He had Stephen Norrington tempering him in the first film. We got a good film. He had Guillermo tempering him
in the second film.
We had a pretty good film. He had no one tempering him in Blade Trinity, and we ended up with the hot mess that is Ryan Reynolds and Triple H in the same film as vampire hunters and fucking vampires.
I mean, let's be honest, all that was missing was The Undertaker rising from the dead saying he was the first vampire hunter and helping Blade.
Yeah.
Now, see, I get the problem is in this early 2000s era, WWE was trying to get into the mainstream films. And that's when we ended up with so much shit.
Mm. So, just looking at some cancelled projects that I'd never actually heard of before. In 2008, Stephen Norrington, who directed the first Blade, was apparently confirmed to be developing a prequel trilogy to Blade, starring Stephen Dorff reprising his role as Deacon Frost.
Okay.
Which would make sense because it was Deacon Frost that bit Blade's mother.
Yeah.
But that was cancelled by 2012 because Marvel Studios had re-got the rights back to Blade by that point. And in 2016, star of Underworld film Kate Beckinsale stated that a crossover film between the franchises had been discussed as a sequel to Blade Trinity, with Snipes returning, but was declined because Marvel Studios was already planning to introduce the character in the MCU. Yeah. So apparently they wanted to crossover Underworld and Blade. No, but if you was to take the film version of Blade, that would work as a crossover.
I guess.
But because
they now wanted it in the MCU.
Because he's now coming back into it as an actual Marvel character, it won't work.
Yeah.
But obviously I am looking forward to watching the new
MCU
Blade.
MCU Blade that was supposed to start shooting in May, but because of the writer's strike, it's not. Thing is, I'm going to say one thing about the actor's strike. Netflix, Disney+, you're to blame. Do you know one of the main things that they're fighting for other than pay?
No. I've not really been paying much.
Have you not? So do you want me to tell you what the main thing they're fighting for other than pay is? They... So, by law, TV and movies have to show their viewing figures.
Mm-hmm.
That is, by law, it is checked by a regulatory body. There is no... Because of getting royalties from the thing, from the show. It's like... I'll tell you a funny story after we finish recording. But streaming services aren't held to this law.
No.
But most streaming services hire actors based on that and say, we'll give you 0.5% per view.
Mm.
Well, that doesn't sound like a lot, but generally we know these shows. Because you hear all Netflix reportedly, yeah, by them. But they don't release their actual figures. No. And they're not forced to by law. That's one of the things they're fighting for. That these streaming services need to have the same rules put on them. That if they're going to sign these contracts to say, you get a percentage of the viewing, you know, a penny per view. Which when you're talking billions of views, which we know some of these get, adds up. But there's no regulatory body checking this.
Yeah.
So they believe they're being underpaid. Now, these companies are going, no, we're paying them fairly. Well, paying them fairly, then why are you so against proving it?
Yeah.
And having a regulatory body to prove it?
Mm-hmm.
What's your problem? If you're being honest, what's your problem?
Yeah.
But no, I would say, overall, Blade films, very good.
Yeah. Apart from the mess of the third.
Apart from the... I've still seen worse than the Blade trilogy, though.
Yes, absolutely. But
the Wolverine, was it the Wolverine? The one with Deadpool or not Deadpool?
Oh, X-Men Origins.
Was it X-Men Origins? X-Men Origins Wolverine, that was it, yeah.
But no, yeah, overall, not a bad film series, but the first two definitely better than the third, but... That tends to happen in trilogies more so than not.
Oh no, completely.
It also did span a TV series also written by David S. Goyer as well. It was a one-off animated TV series in America. Don't know anything about it.
No, neither do I. So.
Although it did seemingly make money.
No, that's Blade Trinity there, mate. You're just looking at the movies.
Well, it obviously did. It's rated 50%. Which is about average for
Rotten
the Blade.
Rotten Tomatoes. So it went 57, 58. So more...
People prefer the second.
Yeah. 25.
In fact, that carries over because
yeah,
even
47, 52, 38.
On Metacritic.
And then four. So most people said the series was
But the
better
public
than...
cinema score, A- for Blade, B plus and B plus for Blade Trinity.
About the same, but...
So the court of public opinion... is that the first Blade is better than the second two.
Well, that's what everyone says. Oh, no.
Yes.
Most people say the second... So the critics say the second one's
better.
Yeah,
the critics
do. The public say the first one's better.
Yes. I'm with the public, but I see where the critics are coming from.
I think because of what the critics... When they review, they're not just looking at plot. They're looking... Like we said, the second one got... more money. So yes, it had better visuals, better costume, better props. And I think if I was basing it on the way they do it, which is they basically have several boxes for acting of main character, acting of secondary character, acting of background characters, costume, props, visuals, lighting, graphical effect, and they basically give all of them a score out of 10 and then add them up and make it out of 100 because there's 10 categories. Yes, I think the second one would win overall and have a higher score out of 100 because it had the better effects and background stuff, and that's how they do it.
Mm.
Not the way the public does it. The public throws it all in a big pot and goes, well, actually, generally, the first one, a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yes, there was some stuff they could have improved on, but yeah.
Right.
But yeah, that was Blade Trinity. Overall, go give all three a watch.
Yeah, they're definitely worth it. Obviously, we are going to be getting an MCU Blade.
Hopefully.
With Mahershala Ali.
It said in the thing.
It's Mahershala Ali or something. I can't pronounce it anyway, even if I see it. So
can you not?
No.
Ah.
But anyway, we're going to be getting an MCU version of Blade, which I'm looking forward to, because Blade has always been one of my favourites.
Yeah, I hope we can get the writer's strike sorted so we can start getting some of these. And I'm not blaming the actors or the writers or any of them.
No, absolutely not.
I'm blaming the fucking studios.
Yeah.
Give them what they fucking want. They fucking deserve it. Without them, you don't have a fucking business.
Yep. And on that note, see you next week.
Yep. Bye.